when I got out of my house the first time and we drove a little bit around, it was like a war zone. It was completely devastated.
Literally, our town is destroyed. Every single way, the infrastructure, the houses, the electrical system, the streets.
In 2017, Puerto Rico was devastated by Hurricane Maria. You just heard Lilian Mateo Santos and Luis Javier Hernandez Ortiz. Here are Alma Frontera, Carlos Santiago, and Jesus Hernandez.
Nothing really compares. There's no way for me to really describe how Maria just decimated the island. And when you're really used to living in, you know, the cliche paradise, but it's all green, it's all foresty.
You see all this green when Hurricane Maria hit. It was sad. There wasn't a leaf on a tree. You just see the base of the tree.
Cellular towers collapse. No communications, no power system, no water.
Hi, my name is Lynn.
I'm Haley.
I'm Faye Victoria.
And I'm Caroline.
We're a freshman at MIT. During our first semester here, we took a class where we worked on a proposal for improving electrical resilience in Puerto Rico, a U.S. territory in the Caribbean.
And while working on that, we realized just how unstable Puerto Rico's electrical grid actually is.
For 4 months, we spent hours frantically researching solar panels,
microgrids,
nonprofits,
batteries,
climate patterns,
geography,
federal grants.
We really wanted to help. But when our proposal was finished, we didn't feel that we were done with our research. We thought it was important to see and experience the place we had studied. So in the spring, we went to Puerto Rico.
After landing, we walked around Old San Juan. Around the city, we heard music from the street performers. And people encouraged us to join them in dancing and singing.
That music is merengue. Now, to that merengue, all you gotta do is move your hips like this. With the rhythm of the music. Just move your hips like that. And then you let your feet go.
And as cars passed by, reggaeton blasted from their open windows. There was music everywhere. Standing out on the streets and seeing it all unfold, we knew this place was special. And it was clear that the people loved it too. As we explored, we began asking people how they would describe Puerto Rico, using only three words.
Three words. That's actually quite tough. Three words. Beautiful.
Magical, powerful.
Rico.
Puerto Rico, mi patria.
Hospitalario.
Community.
Spiritual.
Unity.
Sazón. Sazón is like flavor.
Mi corazón.
Proud. Humble.
Que la gente es. Amor.
The first thing that comes to mind is sandungueo. Which really is a word, one of those African words in our vocabulary. Sandungueo means to dance, to like party. So, sandungueo.
The next day, we woke up bright and early to visit the Puerto Rico Energy Bureau, or PREB, a government body that enforces energy policy on the island.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Puerto Rico Energy Bureau. My name is Lilian Mateo Santos. I'm one of the five commissioners of the Puerto Rico Energy Bureau. I prepared this short PowerPoint to walk you through the change in the legal framework and landscape of our energy sector.
With all the research we'd done, we had a lot of questions for her. But as she was talking about the electrical situation, one thing really stuck out to me.
For some of you, maybe unheard of, but there was people in Puerto Rico who didn't have power for 8 months. But I got power the week of Thanksgiving. So it was two and a half months, approximately. So for me, it was something very traumatic to a certain extent because I have a special needs daughter. And there's a lot of bed changing and bathing and all things involved. But I consider myself a fortunate person because other people were struggling incredibly after a hurricane.
And while we still had a lot of questions about the grid and about the programs Preb had in progress, I kind of just wanted to be like, let's go back to her life story.
For people who lost family members, that changed their lives forever. And it was not a learning experience. It was something real. And that shouldn't happen again. In my case, it gave me some assurance that you can do things that you thought you couldn't. And that there's many of things in life that you can live without for some time.
After thanking Commissioner Mateo Santos, we left to visit the Foundation for Puerto Rico, a nonprofit organization. When we entered the building, the staff welcomed us and then led us to a presentation room.
Hi, bienvenido. My name is Alma Frontera. I'm the Vice President of Operations and Programs here at Foundation.
2 weeks before Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, Hurricane Irma hit the neighboring islands in the Caribbean. So Alma's story began not with Maria, but with Irma.
We're very giving people. So we all came together, we emptied our warehouses, and we were sending everything to our neighboring islands. And we were receiving a lot of refugees from our neighboring islands. So even just our hotels and rooms were now full.
And just as Puerto Ricans were pouring resources into their neighboring islands, Hurricane Maria hit their own island 2 weeks later. Maria was already a devastating storm, and the lack of supplies made the impact much worse. But the generosity and sense of community that the Puerto Rican people displayed during Irma did not stop after Maria hit them. In fact, during relief efforts, that community resilience grew.
We would talk to the neighborhood to understand who's neighbor with who, and you'll find, you know, neighbors saying, the lady that lives across our street, like, you know, she has dementia, she's locked in there, but there's an alcoholic person that lives with her, so don't leave the food with him because he'll sell it, just leave the water and then leave the food with the other neighbor who cooks for her.
As someone who was never close to my neighbors, it was strange to hear that these people not only knew their neighbors, but knew them so well that they had systems to take care of each other during the hurricane relief efforts. And these sorts of stories are not a one-time thing. It's just who they are.
And later that night, we heard a similar sentiment from one of the workers at our hotel.
Mi nombre es María. Trabajo aquí de banquete. Vivo en Rio Grande.
My name is Maria. I work here as a banquet server. I live in Rio Grande.
Nosotros regularmente somos muy comunicativos y ¿verdad? Siempre tratamos de ser cordiales con todo el mundo.
We are usually good at communicating effectively with one another, and we always try to be friendly with everybody around us.
Pero dentro de la comunidad hubo más unión después del evento de María.
But after Maria, there was even more unity within our community.
Y entonces, pues, en ese momento, tú conociste a toda la comunidad.
And so in that moment, you got to know everyone within your community well.
Porque cada uno se necesitaba y cada uno se ayudaba uno a otro.
Because every one of us needed support from one another, and every one of us provided the help that each of us needed.
As an unexpected stop, one of our trip leaders suggested we visit the Boys and Girls Club in Las Margaritas because of a project she had worked on there. On her way there, she stood up on the bus and explained the project's history.
Mabel Ramirez, and I am part of MIT, Lincoln Lab. We're gonna get a tour of a solar-powered system to enable water for Boys and Girls Club. That was actually installed after Hurricane Maria. Several of us from MIT got together to bring technology and expertise that we knew we were familiar with, and the community helped in the installation as well. So it was a completely, you know, community engagement, and then all the engineers that came together. The idea was to allow the Boys and Girls Club to serve as a shelter in a community, to provide food, provide water, and have, you know, the community come there immediately after Maria.
Once we arrived, we walked through the building and up to the roof to see the full scope of the project, dozens of thin solar panels. We got to talk to Mabel about the project, how they installed everything in only a week, and it was really impressive. On our way back down, we passed classrooms with kids, running around, coloring, playing games, and as we walked around, we began to see exactly what Mabel's project was helping to support. She had said that this Boys and Girls Club was used as a community center during recovery from Hurricane Maria, but that wasn't its original purpose.
My name is Isiar Sor Rodriguez. I run the post-secondary education of the Boys and Girls Club in Las Margaritas. Basically, post-secondary is an academic area where we get students to study a professional job.
Que ellos se puedan encaminar a esa área profesional, que puedan tanto de trabajar como estudiar eso que les apasiona en la vida.
I walk with them to reach this professional stage, where they can not only work, but also study what they are passionate about in life.
We learned that many Puerto Ricans are below the poverty line, and the cycle of generational poverty is only exacerbated by educational disruptions. Historically, Puerto Rico has dealt with repeated long-term school closures, and when students are in school, they face disruptions due to electrical outages. The Boys and Girls Club is a safe haven for those students, who often don't have much support.
A veces la gente dice que los estudiantes están perdidos, los niños están perdidos, que pues la vida, pues, no sé, están perdidos.
Sometimes people say that the students are a lost cause, that the kids are a lost cause, that their life is a lost cause.
Pero estos niños me dan vida a mí, me dan vida, y uno se siente sumamente confiado en que hay un futuro por delante, que estos niños van a dar, pues, por lo menos en Puerto Rico y en el mundo, que nos van a dejar de qué hablar.
But these kids give life to me, and I feel very confident there's a future where these kids are going to prove them wrong.
Mabel's project was a response to Hurricane Maria, but now it has taken on an added importance, giving these kids an opportunity to thrive.
Later in the week, we visited another community organization, a nonprofit called Casa Pueblo, located in the mountain municipality of Adjuntas. We had researched them last semester, and they'd captured our attention because after Hurricane Maria, they were the only place for miles that still had power, thanks to their off-grid solar-powered system. We heard over and over that no one was prepared for Maria, but Casa Pueblo was. When we arrived there and co-founder Alexis Mazzol Gonzalez began speaking to us, we learned there was something way before Maria that motivated them to become electrically independent.
En el 1898, Estados Unidos invadió a Puerto Rico.
In 1898, the United States invaded Puerto Rico.
Y se apoderó militar, política y económicamente de este país hasta el día de hoy.
And they took over this country militarily, politically, economically. This remains true today.
Alexis explained that since Puerto Rico is a colonized island, this affects how Puerto Ricans view the world.
El colonizado no tiene futuro, porque el futuro lo decide la metrópoli.
The colonized person doesn't have a future, because the future is determined by the colonizers.
Y el colonizado tampoco disfruta del pasado porque fue borrado.
And the colonized don't enjoy their past, because it has been erased.
But that doesn't mean they've lost hope for their future.
Y queríamos motivar a la gente.
We wanted to motivate the people.
Porque el colonialismo hace de los puertorriqueños y de las puertorriqueñas que seamos pesimistas.
Because colonialism makes Puerto Ricans pessimistic.
Porque nosotros nos han negado un mejor país.
Because they have denied us a better country.
Y entonces decidimos que de abajo para arriba íbamos a ir construyendo un país alternativo.
So then we decided that from the bottom to the top, we would build an alternative country.
And so they did. As its very first project, Casa Pueblo stopped a destructive U.S. mining operation.
And then they turned that area into a protected forest that they now manage.
They organized protests in Washington, D.C. to fight against a project for a natural gas pipeline in Puerto Rico.
They run a school where they teach music and art and engage kids in the natural world through open-air classrooms in the forest they manage.
They also plan to power all of Adjuntas, the municipality where they are based, with their independent electrical systems.
Growing up as a Jamaican American, I really related to the colonized mindset Alexis described, and hearing his story inspired me. In his words, I heard my family and their hopes for Jamaica's future mirrored in Casa Pablo's mission. And despite Puerto Rico's complicated history with the U.S., Alexis portrayed no hatred. Instead, he emphasized striving for a future where we can come together as equals and better the world around us. Even more than that, his unwavering love for his people and his island was palpable. And I saw that same love mirrored in so many of the people we met. We visited Puerto Rico with the history of Hurricane Maria on our minds, expecting to learn more about the electrical issues Puerto Ricans face. Instead, we met people whose history with disadvantage went far beyond Maria, and we met people who didn't let any of that dampen their spirit or their hope. Puerto Rican stories didn't start or end with Maria, and while they've been told throughout history how their story should go, now they're writing their own.
This story was produced by the Spring 2024 MIT Terrascope Radio class. Rita Brown, Haley Brock, Faith Victoria Nee, Narissa Wong, Daniel Sanongo, Rooney Salas, Caroline Brown, Kaylin Wheaton, and Lee Nguyen. The Terrascope Radio class is a part of MIT Terrascope, a learning community for first-year undergraduate students. This class was developed in collaboration with MIT's Comparative Media Studies program. Thank you, Terrascope faculty David McGee and community coordinator Michelle Contos, as well as radio instructor Ari Epstein and undergraduate teaching fellow Sheener Lowe. Music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you for listening.